At the end of Acts chapter 2, we have the story, obviously, in Acts chapter 2 of the day of Pentecost. But after Pentecost, after the day of Pentecost, the church continued to live under the influence and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everybody was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Friend, one of the effects and the results of the coming of the Holy Spirit was a church that rapidly expanded. It was a wonderful experience, and in many ways has expanded from a group of about 120 to now almost 2 to 3 billion Christians worldwide. It's a wonderful encouragement, friends, to know that God continues to work. And I wanted to remind us this morning of some of the things that are needed in a church that grows. We have a wonderful picture in this passage of the church that was growing in its early existence. We know on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached that great message about the fact that salvation is only through Jesus Christ, 3,000 people joined the church on that occasion. So what kind of church grows? Well, I'm going to try and go through this relatively quickly this morning because there's much more that we want to get through this morning still. First of all, a church that grows is a church that has stickability. I don't know if that's a proper word, but it's one I want to remind us of. It says they devoted themselves. The best way I could describe that, friends, is that this was a church who stuck to the task. That's why I've called it stickability. That's literally what the word in the Greek originally means. If you look at the word proskatario, it means to be earnest towards something, to persevere, to constantly be diligent, to attend assiduously to all exercises, to adhere closely to somebody as a servant. Friend, that was the picture of the early church. This was a church, friends, that, you know, didn't fade in and out. This was a church who went at it tooth and nail. They gave all that they could, friends. The church was a living, vibrant, strong organization. And everybody kept going, friends, in the pursuit of wanting to fulfill the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a church that grows is, secondly, a church that has knowledge of the truth. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, friends, don't forget, there were many teachers around those days. Jesus was a rabbi. There were many people who claimed to be rabbis, many who claimed to have the truth. If you just read some of the stories of those days, if you look at the stories that come out of the Greek world, we often read about, you know, the Greek Greek writings, the Greek Odysseys and the Greek, whatever it may be, the teachings of Socrates and Philo, can't think of his name now. But right through, friends, that time, there were many, many teachers. But Yara tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, whose teachings did the apostles teach? Of course, it was the teaching of Christ, friends. On last Wednesday night, we looked at who an apostle is. And we discovered two things about true apostles. The first one is, they were people who had been with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus. They had spent time with Jesus. They had lived under the ministry of Jesus. And not only had they been with Jesus, friends, but they had been commissioned. They walked with Jesus. They understood. They had been taught by Jesus. Friends, that's what we're needing. Yes, there are people who may have an apostolic ministry, who's still spreading the gospel in many ways. But those early apostles, friends, were people who were with Jesus and who were taught by Jesus himself. Friends, we need a church who sticks to the truth of the gospel. We don't need a church, friends, that makes up his own mind. We need a church that follows the teachings of Jesus, friends. If we don't follow the teachings of Jesus, we're no different from any other religious organizations. It's why we don't believe that we can be Catholics. Because in the Catholic Church, they believe that the Pope can add to the Scriptures. Friends, we believe wholeheartedly that the Bible is the final revelation of God. We don't need anything more than the Bible. Everything we need in the Bible for spiritual understanding, friends, has been given to us through Jesus. Thirdly, a church that grows is not only a church that has stickability and one who has knowledge of the truth, but it's a church that works as a team. Look at those verses, verse 42. They devoted themselves in fellowship. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. We have this wonderful word in the church called fellowship. The word fellowship, friends, comes from the Greek word koinos. And in English, we get our word common from fellowship, from koinos. Koinos becomes common. It's one of the reasons, friends, why when we come around the Lord's table, we call it the common union. We come together. The common believers, we come together to remember what Jesus has done for us. Friends, a team that works together is a team that is strong. If people want to be individualistic, they can do their own thing. I'm sure some of you may have watched the rugby match yesterday between the Bulls and the Sharks. Well, the Bulls kept on making mistakes and having members of the team kicked off the field because they were doing illegal things. At one stage, they were down to 13 players instead of 15. Now, when they were down to 13 players, friends, the Sharks were able to kind of come against them and beat them and score tries against them and kick kicks against them. But when all 15 of their players were on the field, they were able to beat the Sharks. Now, I'm not a Bull supporter or a Shark supporter. Don't misunderstand. But I just wanted to remind us of that, friends. When the whole team was on the field, they were almost unbeatable. But when some of the players had got kicked off because they weren't doing what they were meant to do, friends, the team was weakened. And the Sharks were able to score the tries that they did. Now you may say, well, I'm not part of that team. I don't want to be part of that team. I don't have the gifts to be part of that team, friends. The Bible tells us all of us have a gift. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Then it says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what? For the common good. Friends, if you're not part of the fellowship, if you're not adding to the team, if you're not, you know, part of trying to help the church, you are weakening the church. You have a gift that nobody else may have, friends. And that gift is necessary. If this church is going to function effectively, friends, everybody needs to be involved and working with a gift that God has given to them to do their work. Friends, a church that grows is a church that works as a team. Number four, a church that grows, friends, is a church that is committed to spiritual disciplines. Look what they did. It says, they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 46, every day they broke bread in their homes and ate together. Friends, the reality is, in the early church, they met every day for fellowship. We don't do that anymore because of distance and time and all the other things that take our attention. But friends, there needs to be a commitment to be part of the spiritual disciplines. We need to pray for the church. We need to support the church. We need to be around the Lord's table as we remind ourselves of the fact that of what Jesus has done for us, friends. Why have corporate church practices become something that seems to be optional rather than critical? On Wednesday night, we have a Bible study here at the church, and in the past, we used to have good numbers of people who were coming, up to 30, sometimes more than that, but mostly about 25 to 30 people. At the moment, we're down to 15. What's happened, friends? Are we not doing what we should be doing? Are we still not preaching the Word of God? Are you committed to the disciplines, to prayer, to corporate prayer, to being together, to eating together, to fellowshipping together, to getting to know each other? Friends, a church that grows is a church that is committed to the spiritual disciplines. Fourthly, a church that grows is a church that cares. This early church was a church that really displayed a caring spirit. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and good, they gave to everyone who had a need. Now that was the practice of the early church. Unfortunately, like every organization, very soon after the church, while it began, friends, as a church being led by the Spirit, very soon other people started joining it that weren't Christians. And we have the example in Acts chapter 4 of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira looked like good Christians. They wanted to, they even sold a piece of property they had so that the church could be supported in the work of caring for other people. But friends, they did it with an ulterior motive. They weren't really caring. And very soon, by the time we get to the book of 1 Corinthians, friends, where the Apostle Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper, we realize that even up until that point in time, there were some people, and even in the book of Thessalonians, we have some people who come to the church, friends, who don't want to add anything, they just want to take something. So the practice of, you know, kind of sharing everything had sort of faded a little bit during the early years of the church. But friends, they were still a church that cared for the people in need. We find that right throughout the letters of the New Testament. We have people who are collecting money for others who are in need. We have stories of those who, the Apostle Paul says, I thank the Lord for the way they supported me. Friends, we, a church that grows is a church that cares. We need to be that kind of church. I was recently listening to a clip on Facebook or one of these social media programs, and they were busy interviewing somebody who declared themselves to be an atheist. She said, no, I don't believe in God. And so the person asked the person, is there anything about the church that you like? And she said, the one thing I do like about the church is that they seem to be there when people have a need. Now, I was so encouraged by that. Even though she declared herself, friends, to be an atheist, didn't believe in God, she saw in the church an organization of people who truly supported and cared for each other. Number six, a church that grows is a church that knows the holy God. Why am I using those two phrases, friends? It says in verse 43, everybody was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. The word translated in the NIV as awe in Greek literally means fear. If you read the King James, it says, the church was filled with fear. Now, friends, we've moved away from that word because the word fear today is not a positive word. But, friends, it really means it's a church that understands who God is. You know, sometimes I think we forget who God is. Sometimes we forget, friends, that God isn't some old man up there. God isn't some kind of buddy that we have. Friends, the God we serve, the early church realized that the God they served was the God of all creation, friends. And when they came to church, they reminded themselves, friends, they realized if they took God lightly, God would take them lightly. Friends, that's what we need again. We need again to be filled with holy fear. That's what the early church was like. Every time they got together, friends, they were waiting to see how God would move. That's why we have this image here, friends, and we sang about it a little bit earlier on. Friends, is this church the church of miracles? Is this church the church of God moving? Is this church a God that fears God? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, hyping people up. I'm talking about true repentance, friends. When you come to church, do you realize you are in the presence of God Almighty? Friends, that's the church that grows. That's what true repentance is all about. That's what true revival is, friends. True revival is, friends, when people recognize that they are dealing with a living God. You can't mess around with a living God, friends. That's the church that grows. The church that is playing God. The church that is just kind of treating God as if he were just a buddy and a friend, and therefore our benefit, friends. Those churches cannot truly grow in the knowledge and understanding of God. We need to be a church, friends, that really, when people come into the church, they need to say, we met with God today. That's the church that grows. And finally, a church that grows is one who rests in what God is doing. Andre reminded us in his devotion this morning, friends, that it's God is the one who saves. God is the one who works. God is the one who touches people's hearts and lives. I can stand here week after week and tell you the truth of God, friends. But until God moves in your heart, until God touches you and convicts you of your need of him, friends, I can do nothing. It's only God, friends, who can. The last verse says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friend, I can't save you. I can tell you what you need to be saved, but friends, that's God's work. A lot of people say to me, you know, aren't you disappointed that the church doesn't grow? And all I have to say to them, friends, and all I do say to them, Jesus said, I will build my church. Friend, I don't need to be a person who converts others. All I need to do, and all we need to do, friends, is do the other things that are here. We need to be people who are committed to God. We need to be people who are seeking the truth of God. We need to be people who are working together as a team. We need to be people who are praying and meeting around the Lord's table. We need to be people that are caring. We need to be a people that respect who God is and worship him for who he truly is, friends. And when we are that kind of church, the final part falls into place. God will add where he wants to add. We can't do that. That's the work of God. What great joy it is, friends. It's a long time since we've taken folk into membership here at Bethany. And all I can say is all glory to God. All glory to God in bringing these three folk to be going through the waters of baptism this morning. Friend, if you haven't been through the waters of baptism, you are disobeying the very first command of Jesus Christ. You know that. Because Jesus said, repent, believe, and be baptized. Okay, maybe number three. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Then, friends, do the rest of the things. If you've repented of your sins and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and you haven't been baptized, friends, you are disobeying one of the very first commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you wonder why you're not growing as a Christian, friend, ask yourself, am I obedient about step number one? Am I doing what God calls me to do. Let's pray. Lord, as we reflect on what you have meant to us, I just pray, Lord, that you would really work in our hearts and our lives. Help us to be the church, Lord, that grows. Help us to be the kind of people that is reflected in that early chapters of Acts chapter 2. Help us to, again, Lord, gain perspective of who you are. Remind us that you are the living God. You are the God who calls us to follow him in every way. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.